Well, good morning. Later on, we'll do a little survey as you exit today. As I see you, you can tell me if you like me down here or if you want me up there. It doesn't matter either way to me, but sometimes it feels like we're a little more homey down here sometimes. But it's up to you. Lifeway Research claims that 67% of Americans confess that they're sinners. It's interesting that when I've asked people, I've had some to say, I never sin. I've never done anything wrong. Not me. But it was interesting, even though there were 67% confessed they're sinners, a majority of them, less than 34%, only about 28%, trust that Jesus is the one who will help them and overcome sin. That's what we're dealing with today. And sometimes we wonder why church numbers are the way it is. People don't see their need for Jesus. And it's sad, because a lot of ways we see signs. I know that it's been a long time, but we see signs that's the end days. What we allow today, sin abounds. You can turn on the radio. You'll hear words in songs you've never heard before in songs. You'll see things on TV that would never allowed before on TV. I mean, now, if you were from overseas, when I was in England, they had things that were on TV that America didn't have, but now it's changed. We're going to see the significance of these few verses, and hopefully it will give us all an opportunity to appreciate our Lord Jesus Christ more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we expound on these scriptures, we ask that we see our need for Jesus. We see that he came with the purpose to take away our sin. We mentioned last week and we mentioned this week, it's about the cross. God providing forgiveness of sins and a relationship with him. Guide us now, we pray, and let us put into practice of letting others know there's a way to escape the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 13, we see in some details that it's a time of ministry. It's interesting, if you go through church history, the priest, usually at the age of 30, is when they took their priesthood. I thought it was kind of interesting, because we see John the Baptist probably took his because he came from a priestly heritage from his father. And so he probably started his ministry at 30. Remember, there's about a 6 months difference between John and Jesus. And then Jesus at 30 comes at the time of this thing, of baptism, being prepared for his ministry on earth, about 30 years of age. It mentions that he went from where? Galilee to Jordan. One of the other scriptures tells us in Mark that he came from Nazareth. And if you look at it, it's a 60-mile walk for baptism. Now, I don't know how you got here to church today, but he walked 60 miles or more to come to church today. He had a purpose, and he was ready to go, just like he has, as you see his ministry, when he is set for the purpose that God has, he is set, and he goes forth. Luke chapter 3:23 mentions that Jesus was 30 years of age. Luke 1:36 and the Gospel of John mentions that, Luke 1:36 mentions John being 6 months older than Jesus. If you want to go back and study scripture, in Numbers chapter 4 is where we get where the priest would start their ministry at 30 years of age. Later that changed. In Numbers 8, it went to 25. Later in Chronicles, it went to 20. The word cometh. It refers to a public appearance, usually of a teacher. Here he comes to initiate his ministry to the public. The purpose was to be baptized. The problem with many is he was being baptized, and John had been talking about what? A baptism of repentance, right? Come and repent of your sin. And that was to show that people recognized they were sinners. They would be baptized and turn away from their sin. And so the whole problem in a lot of the churches today is, why would Jesus need to be baptized? John himself tries to forbid Jesus to be baptized. He came 60 miles, but I'm not the one. I shouldn't be baptizing you. Why should I baptize you? Jesus is what? Sinless. So why should I baptize you? And Jesus calms his spirit and says, let's do this. This is something to show righteousness. It was a way, a turning away before. And this was going to relate Jesus to you and to me. Warren Wiersbe gave different things in regards to why Jesus was being baptized. One, he says it could have been from an obligation. It could be a consecration because water purifies. And that meant judgment could be a priest. That was going with the priesthood in Numbers. Condemnation, it approves John's ministry was effective, and it was proclaiming that the ministry was good. It was a proclamation of Jesus' ministry. Then there's the anticipation that Jesus is getting ready for the cross. But the biggest meaning in this passage is Jesus is identifying with you and with me. Remember, he was all God, but he was also what? Human. And that was very important for creation and man and you and me to see that in everything as a God, he can relate, but in everything as a human, he could relate too. He suffered. Some of you have suffered. Maybe even this week you had some suffering. But if you've watched the ministry of Christ, you see suffering. There are things that happened to him that were unjust. Anything happened to you in your life or this week that was unjust? Accusations thrown. Anybody put an accusation against you this week? There were those that would even get to the point where they were searching him out that he might be put away and killed. Hopefully none of you went through that this week. But everything that you go through, heartache, anybody lost anybody that was close to them? That's what the world brings, doesn't it? Ever since sin came into the world, it brought death and destruction. And it says that it's nothing that we should be uncommon with, because Romans says we have all earned a wage. The wages of sin is death. Jesus, in this short passage, going through the baptism is to show to you and to me he can relate to you. That even though he knew no sin, what would happen? He would become sin for you and for me. And the only way that we can be right with God is to turn away from our sin and accept the work that Jesus had done. There is nothing that you or I could do to earn the honor or the clearance of our sin from God himself. But if we trust in the work that God put for his Son, then when God looks at us now, he sees the finished work, that your sins have been paid for. And so the symbolism of baptism was extremely important to show that this was God's order, Originally, it was set that man was sinful, needed to repent of those sins. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were there, and they said, oh, come and baptize us then. And John kind of refused because their heart wasn't in it. They were looking for ways to get rid of John's ministry, and now comes Christ. And John realized something about Jesus, that he finally was realizing who Jesus was. They knew each other, I'm sure, from years gone back. Their moms were close friends. And he knew that he wasn't worthy for a sinless person to be one. Why would I do that? And Jesus says, it has to be done. We have to show this is God's plan. Interesting, because in verse 16, some miraculous things happen. One of them is what? The heavens open. And the Lord Jesus Christ in human form and that can see the splendor of heaven. The clouds kind of like roll back. It tells us that a dove came, and we think of the Trinity. All were there. The Son's there. The Holy Spirit is seen as a dove. And God Himself makes an announcement. The Trinity. Why would Jesus need the Holy Spirit? If He's all God, why would He need the Holy Spirit? Again, the same answer. Because of the human side of things. Isn't it neat that when Jesus was resurrected and he told his disciples that there would be one that would come who would be the comforter? And what's neat is every believer, when they accept the Lord as their Savior and see the need for forgiveness of sin and accept him as Savior, immediately you're empowered with the Holy Spirit. When you're looking for comfort and you don't know where it's going to come from, the resource you have is the Holy Spirit. When you need to talk to somebody and you're nervous and you can't think of the scripture or the thing that you want to say, guess who gives you the power to do so? The indwelling Holy Spirit. When you pray, how can you use me this week, and God opens doors for you, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. When those who attack you and say things and try to bring you down, how does your spirit rise from within? It's from the power of the Holy Spirit. And so to minister to Jesus' human side is the significance of the Holy Spirit as a dove. And we see different times in his little short period of ministry that the Holy Spirit calmed him. We'll do so very soon after this experience of baptism when he's out in the desert. Because in the flesh, he felt like you and I. He got tired. He got hungry. He saw loss. And it hurt his emotion. If you read the things and understand that this one who is all God was also all man, you can see that he can identify with you. He is not so far off he doesn't understand your heart, what you're thinking, and what you've been through. You may hide it from others very well. A lot of people that we look at who have mental illness and problems and have taken their lives, we're the most happy, outgoing people that people saw. But inside, they hurt. The Spirit of God indwells in you that it can get you through the good, the okay, and the bad days. And that was a sign. It was going to start this unique ministry that he would have. The Godhead was there. And then we have the announcement from God himself. What does he tell you about his son? He says he is first, what? My beloved. And there are times where you can have family members, you might have close friends, and there's a bond that you cannot explain. And sometimes as we look at this church and we've seen as things have happened and God has provided, there's a love for the church. I heard someone even this morning say, I love my church. They're not talking about the building. They're talking about us here, you. They love being part of this church. And one of the greatest things about this church is that we want to be known for the love that we provide. It's my beloved son, and he says, who I am, well pleased. This is my plan. For him to go through this path as he gets ready for his ministry, to come and to be baptized and identify with his creation. That's his plan. He was chosen for the cross. I'm going to share in closing a poem. It's by Dennis McIndale. It's The Sinful Nature of Man. When God made every life on earth, he said that it was good, for everything he made had worth. In Eden's neighborhood, but Adam sinned, and God declared the earth with him was cursed. And since that day, man was despaired with sorrows well dispersed. That's why the realm of nature sad, for the death comes to all. It takes so-called the good and the bad, the long and the short and the tall. Thus kings and queens and lords and earls in all their finery are just the same as boys and girls who die in tragedy. The creatures face the bitter cold, the creatures face the heat. They may be brave, they may be bold, yet time brings each defeat. The tallest tree, the smallest flea, just like the dinosaur, must face its own fatality, as if the final straw. The oldest man, Methuselah, endured until his end. He wandered near and wandered far. On that you can depend. But in this current age of ours, we lack the stretch of years. Because we don't have superpowers, it's why we're prone to fears. It's why the creatures strive to live the shortness of their lives. It's why they take seldom give, as long as each survives. Yet man runs headlong into war, and if nature must, born of the settling of a score or hatred and distrust. Without God's love, he muddles through, takes victims to their graves. There's just one hope for me and you, and that's faith. Jesus saves.